Children can be dismissed to Children's Church at this time. And if you have your Bibles with you, you can open to 2 Corinthians. We'll be taking a sidestep from our study in Acts to look at a passage here in 2 Corinthians. We're going to be looking specifically at starting in verse 3 of chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 3 through 7 of chapter 1 in the book of 2 Corinthians. The topic that we'll be looking at this morning is God's comfort. We'll be considering God as the God of all comfort. And in this passage that we're looking at in verse 3, immediately follows the normal introduction that you would have in a letter. So Paul's writing this letter, this 2 Corinthians, Paul's writing this letter to the church in Corinth. And so he has it's a letter that he's writing to encourage them and instruct them in their doctrine. And he gives the introduction to the letter, like we might say, we might have an introduction to say, hey, this is who I'm writing to. And in this day, Paul introduces himself and says, this is Paul, I'm with Timothy, and we're writing this to the church in Corinth. And right after that introduction, the first topic that Paul covers in this particular letter is the comfort that God gives. And we'll see, it's very clear in this passage that Paul has a deep appreciation for the comfort that he is experiencing and has experienced from God. Paul is deeply appreciating the comfort that God provides to us. The first word we'll see as we dive into this, the first word that you'll see when I read verse 3, to start the passage here, the first word that we'll see is the word blessed. Paul is saying, blessed be God. And what he means here is Paul is praising God with thanksgiving. And that sets the tone for the entire passage that we'll be looking at. Paul is praising God with thanksgiving because Paul, both in his knowledge and in his experience, Paul knows that God is the God of all comfort. God is the source of all true comfort. Paul knows this, he's experienced it, and he's praising God for it. And the reality is, as we think about this idea of comfort that God gives, the reality is that no matter what we're going through today, we all need this. We all need this comfort. Doesn't matter what we're going through or not going through. Doesn't matter if your life is feeling particularly hard right now, where you're very maybe hypersensitive to the fact that you need comfort, or maybe your life feels like it's going kind of coasting along okay. Regardless, we all need to understand the beauty and the value of the comfort that only God can give. Paul is seeing it. Paul is experiencing it. And it's moving him to worship. And I think that if we can catch a glimpse of what Paul is talking about here, it will move our hearts to worship as well, to worship the God of all comfort. Let's start in verse 3. I'll read verse 3 and just part of verse 4 here to begin. So Paul says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction." Now, I'll just end here for a moment and maybe discuss a few things. First of all, God is described here as God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God's only Son. God sent his Son into the world to be crucified for us. This is the picture of perfect love. So even reading that, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, immediately points us to the love that God has for us, the love that God has for you, the love that God has for me, that he, the Father of Jesus Christ, would send his only Son into the world to be crucified for us. And Paul goes on and describes God as a loving and merciful Father. Our God is a loving and gentle and kind, perfect, merciful Father. He's tender, he's compassionate, he's kind and merciful toward us. And Paul says he is the God of all comfort. In other words, this God, our God, is the source from which all comfort comes. He's the source of all comfort. There is no comfort, no true and lasting comfort, no matter where we might look. There is no true and lasting comfort apart from the one living God. But it doesn't stop there. I want to think about this word comfort for a minute. What's it mean to actually comfort somebody? God is merciful, and he's a comforting God. But this implies, because God is a comforting God, this implies that God doesn't love us from a distance. You can be tender towards somebody. You can be merciful. You can hurt with them. You can care about them. But to actually comfort them, you can't comfort from a distance. To comfort is to interact. To comfort is to move towards somebody. And so God's mercy, when we read that God is a comforting God, we need to recognize that God's mercy moves him. God's mercy, our God's mercy, compels him to come and be with us where we are. He is moved. God is compelled by his very character. It's not something he has to muster up. It's not something God's comfort, God's mercy is not just something that he does. God is compelled by his character, by his very being, to move toward us so that he can be with us, so that he can comfort us. And maybe in a limited human sense, we can feel this a little bit. Because we all bear the image of God. And so maybe in a limited, very limited human sense, we can feel this when we experience that internal draw inside of us to help someone in need that we love. That internal draw that almost makes it impossible to say no, to want to reach out and help. When you see someone that you love, a family member, a child, a close friend, when you see someone that you love and you're compelled within to move toward the person in need so that you can comfort them, maybe we get just a tiny, limited human glimpse of the compassion of God, that he is moved by compassion to come to where we are and be where we are so that he can actually offer true comfort. We see this in Jesus. We see Jesus in the pages of Scripture living out this very compassion, this very mercy of God in the flesh. Every time, as you read through the Bible, every time Jesus stops, every time he stops and turns to help the hurting, every time Jesus stops to heal the wounded or to touch the sick, every time Jesus stops to go spend time with sinners, every time Jesus does this, he is showing us in living flesh that God is a God who loves to comfort his people, and he is moved by his compassion to come and be with us so that he can comfort his people in our needs. God loves to comfort his people. He's a comforting God. By his very nature, he is drawn to us. By his very nature, he is moved to come be with us so that he can offer comfort, so that he can offer relief, so that he can offer strength in the face of troubles, in the face of trials, when we're going through weaknesses, when we're experiencing friction in our lives, whatever it is, all things come to mind. When we are experiencing distress in this life, when we're confused, when we don't know where to turn, when we have doubts or fears or anxieties, whatever it is, whatever life is throwing at us in the moment, God is moved to see his people going through those types of things. He is moved to come to us for the very reason of offering relief and encouragement and strength and comfort. He doesn't have mercy from a distance. He wants to come and be with us and offer us comfort. This is according to God's character. God is a God who wants to offer and loves to bring comfort to his people. And as we look a little bit closer here now at verse 4, we'll see another aspect now of God's comfort. God's comfort is meant to be shared. God's comfort is meant to be shared. Let's start back in verse 3, and I'll read this again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. And now here we see that God's mercies are, or God's comfort is meant to be shared, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So we see here that God comforts us because God is moved to come and comfort us. He does that. God comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we would be able to comfort those who are experiencing any affliction of their own, that we would be able to share the same comfort that we have received with others around us that are going through their own types of affliction. Think about this. When God comforts us, he wants us to actually experience his comfort. God doesn't want his comfort to be something that just lives in our mind, that we know that God is a comforting God. God doesn't want us to stop with that. God wants us to be able to say, we are a people who are actually, truly, really experiencing his comfort. That we are actually experiencing in real time the comfort of God. That we are actually experiencing divine relief and strength and encouragement when we are facing the hardships of life. It doesn't mean that God will always change the situation, but even when he doesn't, that we would be able to say we are a people who are truly experiencing divine comfort in the face of our hardships. That's what God wants for us, to truly taste and truly experience his divine comfort in our lives. He is moved to us to comfort us, not so that we would walk away and say that we know something more about God intellectually, but that we would walk away and say, I have experienced divine comfort from the creator of the universe. And then, as we experience that comfort, that divine comfort that only God can provide to us, as we experience that, God wants us to be so moved in our hearts, in our souls, so moved by compassion like he is, that we would then move towards others that are hurting and share that same comfort with them. God wants us to be so moved by compassion that we would be moved towards those who are in need. That we would also be able to share with compassion the comfort of God with people who are going through hard things. Now, I think one of the areas where we might feel a little bit weak here, one of the areas where we might struggle a little bit is that we don't, maybe it's common, maybe it's normal. We don't often feel like we are equipped or we don't really know how to share the comfort of God with other people. A lot of times we feel ill-equipped to share the comfort of God with other people or to actually comfort others. And so I'd like to draw your attention back to the middle of verse 4 here once more, because Paul is saying something very powerful here. Paul says that God comforts us so that, not just so that we would go comfort others, but so that we would be able to go and comfort others, so that we would be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. This is what's happening. When we are being comforted by God, not only is God helping us in our struggles, he is doing that, but God is also equipping us to go and comfort others. And now the truth is, sure, there will be times when people are going through things around us. Maybe someone's going through a particular trial. Maybe you're going through a particular trial. And we need to lean on some people who have gone through the same thing, because they can relate in ways that not everybody can. So in some ways, there may be some people that are more qualified to speak into certain things. There might be times when certain training is needed in order to help in certain situations. Maybe it's a medical issue, and the training of a doctor is needed to be able to speak to that particular issue. So God's not saying that we can speak to all issues with clarity and qualification. We need to make sure that he is not calling us to speak to things that we're not qualified to. But at the very same time, God is making it clear that no matter what the situation is, in any affliction that any of us are going through, everyone needs to hear and experience the comfort that God brings. None of us are in a place where we don't need the comfort that God brings. We all need to experience the comfort that God brings. And when we experience God's comfort, as we go through that process, as we're experiencing God's comfort, God is equipping us. He's qualifying us. He's making us able to go and share his comfort with others. God's comfort is meant to be received, and it's meant to be shared. Verses 5 and 6 build on this idea. So let's pick back up in verse 5 here, and Paul continues to build out this idea that we are to share God's divine comfort. Looking at verse 5 here, "For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort." Let's pause here for a moment. What do we see happening here? In verses 5 and this first part of verse 6, we see that God comforts us in two primary ways. So if we're going to receive God's comfort, we need to know where it comes from. God is very precise in where his comfort comes from. God comforts us in two primary ways, through Christ and through his community. Christ and community. First and foremost, God comforts us through our union with Jesus Christ. And I'd like to read here just for a moment the first question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism, because I think it captures it so clearly, this idea that first and foremost, God comforts us through our union with Jesus Christ. Listen to this from the question and answer, the first question and answer in the Heidelberg Catechism. The question is this: what is your only comfort in life and death? The answer: that I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation, because I belong to him. Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. This is our comfort. Jesus Christ, Our union with Christ is our comfort. And we see this in verse 5, which actually starts by saying this. We, in our union with Christ, we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings. When Christ lived his life on earth, Christ lived, Jesus lived to honor and obey his Father perfectly. That's what he did. And as he did, as Christ lived out his life to perfection, he suffered constantly in many ways throughout his life on earth. Jesus' life was a life of suffering. And now, as followers of Christ, who are united to Christ, living in this world, we experience similar suffering in our lives. We share with Christ in his sufferings. Jesus said that we should expect this, that we should expect, as we look to follow Christ, as we live out our life in union with Christ, who was the suffering servant, we should expect to share in his sufferings. Now, there's several ways that we could think about what is this suffering that we experience, that we should expect to experience, or that we are actively experiencing in this life. This suffering could be a variety of things. It could be the suffering that we experience when we suffer for the name of Christ, specifically because we are Christians. When someone is out to attack us, or persecution, or even if it's just ignoring us or dismissing us, but specifically for the name of Christ, specifically because we bear the name of Christ, that is one way that we can experience suffering in this life. Another way that this suffering might be experienced could be through the challenges and struggles that we experience as we attempt to live lives of obedience to God's word. When we desire or aim to have our lives shaped by God's word, when everything around us, including our flesh, is trying to sabotage that, when everything around us, including our flesh, is telling us that we should be able to live life our way, that it's okay to make up our own rules, and it's okay to make up our own designs and our own reasons for living. In other words, sometimes this suffering is dying to self. This could include the area of even dealing with the sin in our lives, being willing and able and ready to confess the sin that's in our lives so that we can deal with it, going through that process of repentance, going through the process of lamenting our sin and the sin around us can feel hard. It's a type of suffering that Christ also experienced. Or this suffering could be what we experience when we are just experiencing the hardships of life that are out of our control. Maybe it's a medical issue, maybe it's a financial issue, maybe it's relationships, whatever it is, but things that we can't control, things that are just naturally coming our way in life, and we want to respond to those things in a Christ-like way. And it's hard. And we're frustrated or disappointed, and we're broken over just the brokenness of life. Christ suffered that also. The point here is that when we are attempting to honor God by following Christ in his love and in his obedience, when we are attempting to have our lives look more and more like Christ, when we are looking to follow Christ like that, we will also follow him in his suffering. We follow Christ in his life, and we follow Christ in his suffering. But here's the amazing news in this verse. Here's the amazing news. When we follow Christ in his suffering, that's not where it ends. When we are willing to follow Christ into the suffering that he has already walked through for us, when we follow Christ into that suffering, God is waiting in the suffering to give us the comfort of Christ. It's in the suffering that we experience the comfort of Christ. The comfort that God gives us that points us to Christ as our Savior. The hope that comes from looking to Christ is most experienced in the suffering, in the trials that we experience as we look to follow Christ. And we need to be reminded of this, because the truth is, we don't particularly like suffering. I think that probably applies to all of us. We don't particularly like suffering. And in fact, I think this is probably true. We probably spend a good portion of our lives trying to avoid suffering. And if we aren't careful, we can find ourselves compromising in our walk, looking to avoid or diminish suffering. There's so many ways that we could see this happen, where we see that to follow Christ is going to cost something. And so we pull back and we maybe try to compromise or get around a principle because we aren't sure if we can pay the price, if we can actually bear up under that suffering. And so we need to be reminded of this, because what Paul is showing us here is that when you follow Christ into the suffering, the comfort of God through Christ is waiting for us. True comfort that God gives us is experienced in the suffering. We will find that God is right there pointing us to Christ. This is the primary way that God comforts us, through our union with Christ. But there's another way that we see here that God comforts us. It's through his community of believers. We read this in verse 6. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort. In other words, Paul is saying here to the church in Corinth, whether we are afflicted or whether we are comforted, it's all for your benefit. It's all for your benefit. When we are part of God's community, suffering and comfort don't happen in isolation. When we are plugged in to God's community, suffering and comfort happen as a family. We weep together, we rejoice together, we care for each other, we bear each other's burdens, we share in Christ's sufferings together, and we point each other to Christ together so that we can share in the comfort of Christ together. This is exactly what verse 4 was talking about. God's comfort is meant to be shared. God's comfort is meant to be experienced as a community. God comforts us through the church community. God comforts us through our church family. Now, how does this happen? Well, one thing we know for sure, we can't comfort each other well from a distance. We can't comfort each other well from a distance. Just like God doesn't attempt to comfort us from a distance, but he comes to us. We can't comfort each other from a distance. In order to comfort each other well, in order to share divine comfort from God with each other, in order to get into the lives of each other, we need to know each other. We need to truly, really know each other well. We need rich, healthy relationships within the church family. This is why it's worth it. It's worth it to be intentional about getting to know your church family. It's worth it for us to get to know each other. It's worth it. Because we can't share God's comfort without these kinds of relationships. We can't share God's comfort from a distance. We need to know each other. We need to be able to bear each other's burdens. We need to know where we're struggling. We need to know where we're suffering so that we can point each other to Christ, so that we can share in the suffering together and then share in pointing each other to Christ so that we can share in the comfort of Christ together. Maybe another way to say this is like this. If we were a church family where we didn't really know each other that well, if we stop being intentional about building rich, healthy relationships with our church family, if we were to stop that, if we were to move away from intentional, healthy, rich relationships with each other, we would immediately start missing out on the fullness of God's comfort that works through those very relationships. But if we continue to be a church where we are actually building those relationships, if we continue to move closer to each other so that we can share in Christ's sufferings together, so that we can bear each other's burdens, if we continue to move toward each other like God moves toward us, if we can continue to do the same thing and move toward each other with compassion and love for each other, if we continue to experience God's comfort together, if we are intentional about that, if we continue to be intentional about spending time with each other and building deep, rich relationships with each other, we won't miss out on the fullness of God's comfort, but we will experience and continue to experience the fruit that comes from experiencing God's comfort. This is what Paul closes this particular section with. Let's pick back up in verse 6. And here, let's take a look. As we move closer to each other, as we suffer well together, and we point each other to the comfort that we have in Christ, as we build these rich relationships and continue to be intentional about that and continue to move toward each other, as we do that, we will experience the fruit that Paul talks about here in these last two verses. I'll start at the beginning of verse 6. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort. And now here we get the fruit, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you, Paul says to the church in Corinth, is unshaken. For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. When we talk about the fruit of God's comfort, the obvious fruit, the obvious result is that we personally experience relief and comfort ourselves in the face of whatever hard things we're going through. And that might be an obvious fruit. But it's important for us to keep in mind that on that, it's important for us to keep our mind on that truth, because it's so easy to look for true lasting comfort in things other than God, or to replace the comfort that God gives with something else. So as obvious as it is that looking to God for comfort will bring relief, it's important for us to keep that in mind, that our relief, the true relief that we need, comes from God alone. God alone is the God of all comfort. Only God is able to comfort us in all of our trials. Sure, there are, like I said, there are specialists, there are people that are more equipped for specific areas, but no one is equipped like God is to comfort us in all of our trials. So the first fruit that we experience is the relief that comes from God to us personally. But there are two other areas of fruit that we experience, two other additional ways that God's comfort produces fruit in and through the church, through the community. First, we experience God's divine comfort together as a church family. Well, let me say it this way. When we experience God's divine comfort, we are able to then patiently endure as we suffer. Patient endurance is the fruit of God's comfort. Persevering through the troubles of life is the fruit of God's comfort. The more we lean into each other, the more we are intentional about sharing in our suffering, the more we are intentional about sharing the comfort of Christ with each other, the more we grow as a strong, healthy church. For some of us, and I'll speak personally here, for some of us, it's our personality to keep things more private. Maybe we come up on a hard thing in life, we're kind of confused maybe on how to handle it, maybe we're not sure where to turn, and we're wrestling because we're experiencing a trouble, a trial, a hardship in life. And maybe it's our personality to kind of turn inward and try to figure it out. Maybe we'll ask for prayer. Maybe we'll share a detail here or there. But maybe not really go much deeper than that. That's probably pretty common. And the truth is, it is actually easier and more convenient to do that. It's easier and more convenient to keep things at a surface level even in our relationships as a church family. Because building deeper relationships and opening up with each other and being vulnerable with each other and sharing our burdens with each other so that we can suffer well together, to be able to do all that requires time and humility and trust, things that take time to establish. And so maybe we aren't even necessarily against doing it, but we just don't really think about it that often. But we need to keep coming back to this. We can't love and comfort each other. We can't point each other to Christ well from a distance. And so I want to encourage us as a church family this morning, keep pursuing those deeper relationships in your church family. Keep being intentional about spending time with your church family. Be intentional about building those relationships and trust the promise that God gives us here. Sharing in our suffering and sharing in the comfort of Christ together through these relationships binds us together as a church. These relationships bind us together. And the more we share in suffering together, the more we share God's comfort with each other, the stronger we will be bound together. This is why church is so important. This is why being a part of the church family is so critically important. It creates in us a firmness, a steadfastness, a patient endurance as we walk through the troubles and trials of life together. And when we are walking with patient endurance as a church through the trials of life, God's light is shining brightly through his lighthouse. God's comfort produces patient endurance. And then we also see in verse 7 another fruit. Experiencing God's comfort together produces the fruit not only of patient endurance, but also the fruit of assurance. When we suffer well together and we comfort each other together, we experience the fruit of assurance. Paul says in verse 7 to the church in Corinth, "Our hope for you is unshaken." Paul sees the shared suffering that's taking place, and he sees that both he and the church in Corinth are sharing the comfort of Christ. They are suffering. They are sharing the suffering of Christ together. They are sharing the comfort of Christ together. Paul sees this, and he's completely confident that those he is writing to will continue to persevere through their trials with that patient endurance. He sees them suffering with Christ, for Christ, and he sees them finding their only soul comfort in Christ. And he sees that taking place, and he says, as we share in the sufferings of Christ, and as we share in the comfort of Christ, I am sure, my hope for you is unshaken, that you will persevere in your faith. He says, we know that as we share in Christ's suffering together, we are also sharing in Christ's comfort together. Sharing in Christ's suffering, sharing in the comfort of Christ, when we do this as a family, produces assurance in the family. Not isolating ourselves when things get hard. Not being so busy that we can't spend time building relationships in God's family. Not turning inward or turning away from the church family when we are facing a particularly hard challenge. Those things will disrupt the experience of God's comfort. But instead, trusting God's promise, we lean into the church family, into the community of Christ. Reach out to each other when we need help. Lean on each other when we are experiencing fears and doubts and weakness. Let it be our knee-jerk reaction, our reflex, that when something hard comes our way, that the first thought we have in mind is, I need the comfort of God that comes through Christ and his community. If that is how we approach life, we will be a strong church made up of strong believers who are patiently enduring and persevering, continuing to point each other to Christ, reminding each other of all that Christ has done, resting in the hope that Christ alone can give. Do you see why Paul opens this passage with the word, blessed be God? He is praising God as the God of all comfort. And he has thankfulness in his heart because he sees that this is not something we can stumble upon in this life. This is not something we can even find if we go looking for it. God's comfort comes from him alone, and it applies to all of our life and to all people. We need to experience God's comfort. We need to share in the suffering of Christ together. We need to share the comfort of Christ with each other. And when we do, we will experience the fullness of God's divine comfort. Let's pray. Father, we join Paul thousands of years later with the same words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All praise, honor, and glory to you, our God. With thankful hearts, we praise you for giving us what we could never find, comfort that is bigger than any trial. Comfort that we find in Christ and in the community of believers. What a gracious God that you wouldn't attempt to or be satisfied with loving us from a distance, but that your mercy would compel you to move to us, to move toward us, to be with us so that you could comfort us. What a merciful God. We praise you for your compassion and your mercy. And Lord, I pray that as we let these words settle in our hearts and minds, that you would move us to find comfort in you, move us to find comfort in Christ, move us to find comfort in our church family as we suffer with Christ and share in the comforts of Christ, move us inward to this church family, where we could truly experience the comfort that you give. Show us where we are straying. Show us where we are tempted to look for other types of comfort. And we trust in your patience. We trust in your grace that you will kindly, lovingly bring us back. Lord, I pray that whatever everyone is going through here, that you would allow us to experience to a fuller and fuller degree the divine comfort that you give us in Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.